do 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 do. Here's the Meadowlark. Do 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 do. Okay, we're going to continue what we started this morning. And it's not about whining. I guess I don't want it to sound like I'm whining. But you know, you wonder, all the stuff that we've learned, I guess I'm looking at myself, all the stuff that I've learned over these years, and yet more and more, I've become more of an enemy to more people. Is it my delivery? Is it the way I say things? Oh, probably. Never was good at saying things rightly. But I'm better at saying the right things now. Just maybe not saying rightly. And we're just going over things that, looking at Paul only, is the only way that you can see this stuff. I can look at each one of those things we talked about this morning. We talked about the difference of Gentiles and Jews. And if we go to different parts of the Bible, it destroys what Paul teaches. It just wipes it out. So if we're going to go back and look at Gentiles and Jews, and you throw out Paul, then the Gentiles are just a bunch of heathen, and if they follow the same teachings that the Jews did in Gospels, then they can become born again. Yeah, truth can hurt, yeah. Especially without looking for it. So, if we look at our good works, without Paul only, we find out that we got to confess the bad ones, or we're in deep trouble. If we throw out Paul, we don't understand the law anymore, because it still exists. Again, it takes us back to God's chastisement and, being hurt by God. If we look back at, if we throw out Paul only, Paul's teachings about religion, modern Christianity, then you see the emphasis on religion, getting along with everybody, having the church be the place for lost people, so let's get rid of our standards, let's get rid of our music so we don't want to keep them away, let's do what we can do to get them to come in, and if religion is going to take us right to the Antichrist, you've got to throw Paul out, or he'll stop that, he'll expose that. The devices of Satan, well, that's charismatic stuff in the Gospels. You throw out Paul, and you don't realize that if now that you're a Christian, see, people think that now that you're a Christian, Satan doesn't bother you anymore. Or if he does, you can pray him away. You can stay in your Bible. He's not going to. So you throw out Paul with that one. If you throw out Paul, you'll never recognize that Satan works in our flesh. The devil's, all his little buddies or whatever. It's all God of this world and appeals to our flesh. But yet, see, we're separated from that flesh. But you don't know that unless you study, unless Paul teaches it to you. So we have to go Paul only. And how do you teach your kids about truth if you don't even know what truth is, if it's all mixed up in the Bible without rightly dividing that Bible? Kids aren't stupid. They know when Daddy says, and Mom, Daddy says, we got to pray about this and nothing happens, then they know that, well, this God must not exist for these physical blessings, see? So the kids wise up to this folly, it's just that it destroys them. We looked at how to make sense of your King James Bible. It makes no sense unless you go to Paul only, because the rest of the Bible has its place. And Paul's has its place. But if you throw out Paul and mix the whole thing up, this is why we have so many denominations, so many Bibles, so many teachings, so many excuses for going to a different Bible, so many different pastors, you know, the whole thing. Why people claim this unction stuff, why they claim these miracles and it's crazy, private interpretation. None of that's to us today. If you throw out Paul, this Bible isn't complete. It's not done. So why not have a different Bible? There's no reason in Scriptures not to have a different Bible other than 1 Corinthians 13:10 through Paul. Those are the things we looked at this morning. And I think we touched base on church. It exposes the false purposes of a church. Paul's purpose of a church is for saved people, for edification, for the work of the ministry. I think he says there. And what's the other one here? Ephesians 4. For the edifying of the body of Christ, for the perfecting of saints, or for the work of the ministry. So the work of the ministry can bring lost people to church. That's not a problem. But we're supposed to edify the body of Christ. And it's a place for the perfecting of the saints, for our growing strong in our faith, not feeding us baby food anymore. So Paul exposes that thing. You get rid of Paul, you can go right back to the truth, right back to early church in Acts chapter 2, and everything will look fine. Because it's preparing us for the church in the Laodicean church, after the tribulation, which is getting ready for the Antichrist, Revelation chapter 6. It all just so fits. You know, it just all so fits. And yet, to tell somebody the truth, it isn't a matter of seconds. You're their enemy. If you care for somebody enough to try to tell them the truth, they'll love you less. That's amazing. Let's look at some other ones here tonight, some things that following Paul only. Let's look here at, this is pretty obvious, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And, you know, it's really unfortunate that our battles that we fight, which really should just be our flesh, because we're actually fighting against the devil who appeals to our flesh. It's really sad that we end up fighting the brethren, isn't it? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's really sad that we end up fighting our parents, our spouses, our children, or you know, whichever side it's on, or the other brethren. We have a Bible that should unify all this up. And we can't even agree on rightly dividing this thing. And when rightly dividing proves itself, you know, rightly dividing based on what you've been taught in a different college doesn't prove itself without going to the college, the Bible Institute or whatever. But to read what Paul says and just say follow what Paul teaches, period, that's there it is, that solves the whole issue. And the same thing with that which is before the King James Bible came, that which is perfect, there was those things that God taught to people only in part. And so that stuff in Corinthians was in part. And even some of the other testaments in the New Testament, other books in the New Testament, are solved by when that Bible comes along. It's amazing. So look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. And, you know, when we thought we were pleasing God, when we were Lutherans, or when I was a Lutheran or whatever, we thought we were doing the good stuff to please God. We were doing nice to people, you know, taking care of Aunt Bertha, you know, and stuff like that, and helping her paint her house, and building her home for habitats and all this kind of stuff, you know. Here we are, we think we're pleasing God because of what he taught in the Gospels. You know, do good unto others as they would have you would have them do unto you. That's a good thing. But you know, if you're not saved, then you're doing good to others isn't going to do you a bit of good because it's still full of sin. You're still attached to your flesh, which is sin. So it's amazing stuff. So we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, which you won't find this anywhere else. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, that's Paul and his people there, how ye ought to walk and to please God. So if you want to pull off the Gospels and try to follow the Beatitudes to please God, you're not going to please God. You want to go into 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, you want to get Revelation, you want to go into Jude, you want to go into 1st, 2nd Peter, Hebrews or whatever, and try to do that stuff, that isn't going to please God. Different dispensation. It's that simple. So why do you want to go back and pull out some old teachings from the Gospels to think, well, that's what he taught the Jews that pleases him, so maybe that could displease him today too? No, because if there's something in the Gospels or if there's something in the tribulation books that God wants us to hear for us today, he will teach it to us still through Paul somewhere. Ten Commandments, classic example. We've got nine commandments. You want to go back and study the Ten Commandments, try to follow them? Well, they're pretty basic law. That's fine, you know, for as far as a good moral character. But, you know, you don't have to do the one about the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So why don't you study the teachings of the Ten Commandments through Paul? He doesn't call them the Ten Commandments. He just teaches those are the things that we should do to please God. And he tells us we don't have to go to some church on a certain day, on a certain time, to please him. So if there's something God wants us to know that he taught to the Jews, he'll teach it to us again through Paul. So we can please God. And it says, so you would abound more and more. Of course, not in physical aboundings. We've got a whole sermon series on what are we abounded with and spiritual things. So, sorry for the yawns there, movie people. Okay, probably makes you folks pretty boring. Okay, here we go. Let's do another one here. I don't have any really scriptures for this as such, but if you look around at them, we can come up with them, I think. Here's something else that we get from Paul only, and that's how to help other people, how to care for other people. I know it tells us in Corinthians that we go through a lot of things ourselves so that we can help other people. But see, we go through the problems we go through, and we've got them. I've got some things right now that I'm working on that are just devastating. And we get through this stuff. I'll be able to show people in their Bible, rightly divided, how to get through this stuff. So we can learn how to help people. We don't need to go to Bible college. We don't need to go to biblical counseling. You go to Paul, King James Bible. And it tells us how to get through the problems that we're having. Marriages can be fixed, according to 1 Corinthians. We show folks how Paul's teachings tells us that, you know, Jesus isn't going to magically fix something, although we sure do ask him to, don't we? We still say, Lord, can you just somehow step into that situation back there and take care of this world's lousiest, rottenest father and just take him out of the picture, show him something? Well, do you pray that, you know, can you show him something in his Bible? Sure, but the guy's got to open his Bible and read it. He's got to humble himself to the Scriptures, and he's got to realize that this is what it says, because he can't read very well. So how is God going to magically fix that? See, we learn how to care for people by telling them, here's what the Bible, here's how you can go to your Bible for strength, for encouragement, for guidance, and then you got to go to your Bible to do it. And if you can't do it, I'll read it to you. I'll show you some things. I show you how to fix your kid. I show you how to fix your kids. It's in the Bible. I can show the kids how to fix themselves so they can be back to pleasing their parents. It's in the Bible. Rightly divided. It's in Paul. You know what it does? He asks us to change. Acts 26:18. He asks us to change from the power of Satan unto God. Now, why is that so complicated? How do you change unto God? Well, you read what it is that he tells you. And you make those changes. Remember I said this morning, he changes us on the inside so we can now make choices to change us on the outside. But he doesn't even make us do that. He just asks us to. He says, that's the reasonable service. Okay, anyway. I can just get to winging and yakking about this stuff here. So yeah, he teaches us how we can truly care for somebody else. You just show them the Bible. Write them a check for $100 or $1,000. No problem. I mean, that really helps a lot. It helps greatly. But it doesn't solve it. Unless that particular problem, that's the only reason what you needed. But that book will get us through this stuff. But none of us really can just trust. You know, we trust him with our soul, but we still just can't trust him with our walk. But we still got the flesh to deal with, don't we? That's what messes things up, is that personal, desirous flesh. Like Paul says, that this, I'm just a, what does he say here? What lousy thing. He says, who shall deliver me from this more wretched man than I am? Yeah, as a man, Paul was wretched. But as a Christian on the inside, he was clean. Okay, so if we could just show that to people, you know, okay, so you tripped up. You know what, let me show you something about the law that Christ took care of. You know, that's not imputed to you? What do you mean? And you show them that stuff. And we can actually be encouraging. We can show somebody that, you know, that didn't get recorded. Or would you like to not have that recorded? God will take care of that. But you need to put your faith and trust in him. So many ways to help other people. You know, but they just, are you one of those Paul guys? Well, no, but I looked at Paul for my teaching. He said, oh, you're just a hyper. You're just a nut. Get out of here. Can we help you? No, you guys are crazy. I'm going to call my Baptist pastor. He'll tell me all about you, and he'll fix me. He'll take me to the church board. Will come in and give me some money, and they'll help. Oh, it's just religion. In fact, remember what pure religion was, or will be someday? Remember what it said there in James? Pure religion. Where is it at? I think it's in pure religion here. I thought I had it written down. I guess look at my notes here. Pure religion. And this is where people are headed. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep themselves unspotted from the world. That's religion. Here's another one. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. There's something else you won't get out of any other Bible. You won't get it out of, in any other dispensation, and yet it's preparing people for the tribulation that's coming up, and that's Acts chapter 17. And we get into this false worship stuff. You know, if it wasn't for Paul's teachings of the risen Savior, we'd all be still going to church, or maybe we wouldn't be interested at all. We'd be singing these songs, thinking we're worshiping God, and not realizing that, who are we to worship God? He created us, and we're dirty. But when we find out from Paul that we're no longer dirty on the inside, then we can worship God. Then we find out that what's going on in churches today is they're doing a flesh worship, a false worship. And it's all heading towards the Antichrist of this world religion, and it just all makes sense. The way the music is going, the way the Bibles are going, the way the speaking in tongues are going, it's all working together. And all we got to do is go to Acts chapter 17, and Paul's little speech to the about the unknown God, on Mars Hill. He says in verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Remember, he did used to dwell in temples. Not anymore. And hath made of one blood all nations of men. No, verse 25. Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. So there's your... We are having false worship in our churches. Come and worship with us. Here's our worship leader. Here's our worship team. And they're playing the kind of music that they're playing, which most people don't realize is very fleshy or feely music. And it has nothing to do with God. God says to praise him, but he says to praise him with melody. Now, he's not big on harmonies. Ooh, that was a good progression. He doesn't say that. And with rhythm, you can't worship him with rhythm. That's the beat. That's flesh. So going to Paul only will tell us what's coming up when it comes to worship and how worship is so false today. And yet people are just hooked. And the word is addicted to church. They just got to have a church to go to. They just got to have a place to go to so they can dress up. They have a place they can go to be there for the brethren to hear what's going on in their lives, a little gossipy snoops, and to make this pastor feel good and feed us a little bit of soup and raisins this morning, and a place where the kids are going to wreck instead of your house for a change. And it's an amazing thing. You go there and pretend you're a Christian. Go to the altar if you're a serious Christian, pray and cry and get rid of all those sins and just get up from there and be cleansed again. And then next Sunday again, till you realize, I just can't do this. Yeah, I know. That's why the risen Savior took care of it. That's why it's not being imputed to him. He knows you're not gonna fix yourself up. He knows people can't get through the tribulation except what? He's gonna go in them. And it talks about there, he's gonna go on them. And the Spirit of God is gonna be upon their flesh. Christ will be in them. But he'll leave if it goes sour. There's nobody sealed during the tribulation. Anyway. But see, I'm sorry, that's just Paul only. You follow Paul? Sure I do. Paul only? You betcha. It's the only way to go. What about Peter? He's just an apostle to the Jews. You didn't know that? What about Jesus' teachings? That was to the Jews. We didn't even want the Gentiles to hear that stuff. Go to Matthew chapter 5. What about Peter? We said, Peter, what about James? James, he teaches works for salvation. That's to the 12 scattered tribes. What about Jude? Same thing. Jewish teachings. What about Paul? When he wrote to the Hebrews? Very simple. To the Hebrews. That's not written to you. So it has to fit in the Bible. Where does it fit in at the Bible? After Paul's ministry. Doesn't that make sense? A dispensationally ordered Bible. Not chronologically ordered, but dispensationally ordered. Why wouldn't Paul's books towards the Hebrews and then the Jews be at the end of the Bible? Because when God's done to the Gentiles, for them not looking at the goodness of God, then it's time to go back to the Jews. So these people that can't find rapture in the Bible, they're looking too tight and too close. It has to take place because of the differences there. Anyway, but you only get that from looking to Paul. You won't find this stuff in Peter. You won't find this stuff in Jude and Exodus and Genesis. Crazy. I'll stick another one here. This one's in 1 Corinthians 14. Here's something else that you only get from Paul. And if you've been reading your stuff from Paul and keeping your eyes open, then this is no longer a problem. You're no longer a barbarian to a musician. You're no longer a moron, a blinded moron to music and to a musician. I've been reading some quotes. I can't remember any of them right now. I've been reading some quotes from the old rock, Janis Joplin, and who's the other guy, Jimi Hendrix, and all these people. They talked about music, and they knew that there was a power in that music way back in the 60s. And there's a lot of music world out there that a lot of people still don't understand. But we've learned enough to know that that music today is appealing to our flesh because of the beat, because of the rhythm. And as a result of that stuff, it doesn't please God. We can just no longer be a barbarian to these music people, to musicians of the devil. And for musicians out there that are Christian musicians, this Paul will tell you, to make sure he teaches you, that you got to make sure that you're not a musician of the devil, even though you are saved. And if you're teaching your music this new modern stuff, then that's not of God. But instead of checking themselves out to make sure it's right, they just get mad and say, well, that's just the way it's going to be. And before you know it, you got a rock concert in your church, and everybody's coming to church because of the music, not because of the preaching. But they're still coming to church. No, that's not right. I think I'm going to go down to the local swimming pool this week. There's no water in it, but, you know, I'm going to go down there and walk around in the bottom of it and pretend that I'm swimming. Yeah, that's pretty dumb. Yeah, well, so is everything else these people are doing out there these days. Well, let's do this. Let's look at another one here. Oh, by the way, that was Ephesians. That was 1 Corinthians 14, verse 11. 10 and 11. There are maybe so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. And see, if you don't understand the voice of music, the language of music, you're just handing yourselves over to the devil to manipulate your flesh with this modern Christian music. And what they're singing about today is just terrible. Can anybody pop some kind of a comment to make sure this is still going through? Like a boo or something like that? Let's go on to the next one here. Let's go back to Romans. Because I'm not... The last comment I got was truth can hurt from Brian. And I don't know if anybody else is hearing this or we typed, am I locked out or what here? Oh, okay, there we go. Okay, we got it. Good. Well, let's go here to... let's go to Romans 2:16. Here's another one, Romans 2:16. This is a big one. And this one floors me too. I don't understand this one. We can learn by looking to Paul the exact walk that our walk will be judged by at the judgment seat of Christ. And I mean this, that men today, we are so far out of God's design in so many cases that we're doing the woman's work. We're thinking like women. We're almost dressing like women. We got the jewelry and all this kind of stuff. And there's some places I know the guys wear dresses already. But Romans 2:16 tells me that we're going to be in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. That's Paul. So, ladies, why would you continue to do the things that isn't in your job description? Men, why do you ask your daughters and your wife, why do you make them do things, wear things, go places, have them run the ship as such when they're specifically told not to in the scriptures? What about a father and a mother? Do we know the duties of a father towards the family, toward duties of the mother towards the family? Do we know the differences between a father and a mother when it comes to children fighting back? Do we understand that? Isn't that amazing? I mean, we could actually know today specifically what you're doing. As if it's what God would have you to do or not as a woman, then do it. And if it's not, then don't. We need the money. Well, okay, keep doing it, I guess. That's reality. But you know you got to get out of that someday because your judgment seat of Christ is going to come along and you're going to wish you had quit work. It's that simple. But these are tough times. We got to remember that we learned from Paul that our sins aren't going to be judged. They've already been judged. And people sing, Jesus paid it all, yet they don't believe it. If Jesus paid it all and all things are lawful, again, we go back to Romans 5, we see if there's no law, which there isn't, so there's going to be no wrath. He says in Romans 7. That was Romans 5. I'm looking for it here. I just read that thing, yeah. So I don't understand this stuff. This eternal judgment seat of Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. See, everybody in town thinks that God's judgment on the world is going to beat up everybody unless you got a good excuse for why you did what you did, and maybe he'll let you off the hook. Right. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, which Paul did. Do you have Jesus Christ because you got your foundation through Paul's teachings? Or did you ask to be born again? Did you ask Jesus to be to come into your heart? Did you talk to the Jewish Jesus, or did you talk to the risen Savior? Did you hear the gospel of your salvation, the word of truth? Did you trust? Did you believe? Did you trust? So you get that in Ephesians. Oh, it's just such a thing here, isn't it? So we see in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, which is Christ, by the way, every man's work shall be made manifest in 13. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work, and what sort it is. But then he's quick to remind us, verse 15, we ourselves will not burn. So we see here in verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Is it Paul's? That's pretty simple. So we understand our judgments, white throne judgment in Revelation 15. That's not written to us, although we realize in Daniel chapter 12 that we'll still be there for it. Just to watch what's taking place. It won't be us. Okay, haven't thought of what that way. What was I talking about? We can do this. We're on the internet here. Somebody says, I hadn't thought of it that way. And then the answer to my question of, haven't thought of what? And I have an H. Oh, work's being tried. You know, there's something, if I can find it here, I think it's in Colossians here. Yeah, Colossians chapter 3. Oh, I know. People have been thinking Corinthians about what your they've always said it's your motive for why you did what you did. It's they come up with all sorts of things of what sort it is, and it has to be. It just has, without a doubt, it has to be referring to the fact that it's what Paul taught, because he's going to be his gospel is going to be used to judge us. Our works will be judged by Paul's gospel, which is why I say this is a tough one for ladies that are working. Or a father who's going to make their daughter go to work, which is just irritating, because it's teaching your daughter how to blaspheme the word of God, which is what it says in Timothy. I don't understand this stuff. I'm beyond understanding of what some people fight against so hard. So anyway, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, it says here, must go to 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. That's what we should do. We'll obey our bosses. Not with eye service as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. That's why we should work the way we should work at home, at work. Knowing that of the Lord he shall receive the reward of inheritance, for he served the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And so we know that we're going to have our wrongs burn up in the fire. So it's just wrongs. It isn't sins. People can't handle that. They just go, what are you talking about? That's just what it says. Let's see. Let's go back here to... let's go here to Romans 5. If there's anything that I enjoy trying, I wish people could get a hold of. And they stumble right away at the whole thing. And that's this point here where We have our guilt taken away because the law is taken away. We as Christians should have no guilt, even though we've done what we've done in the flesh. Romans 5 again. It is the law that worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. How about this one, verse 13 of chapter 5? Romans chapter 5, verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, okay? But sin is not imputed when there is no law. What a fantastic verse. So whenever you're doing something wrong, you know, I'm not trying to soften it or excuse it or anything, but you're not the one doing it, Paul says in Romans 7, and you're following to do it, and it won't be imputed because there's no law that says that's wrong. But there is a teaching that it is wrong, so it doesn't please God. And if you do something with what you shouldn't be doing, you'll reap what you sow. But it isn't going to be God chastising you. You know, you want to jump off the fence? Jump off the fence. You want to land on the picket fence with your tummy? Go ahead, land on the picket fence. You want to drive 70 miles an hour and get a speeding ticket through town? Go ahead. He's not going to stop you. Sure, he took care of the law, but the government hasn't taken care of the law yet. Every time something goes wrong, they come up with 50 laws. It's amazing. So when we get this guilt taken away from the things that we're doing, when we really understand what Christ has done for us and where Paul teaches us that, this, you'll only find this in Paul. We find out that we can still have a peace in our life. We can still have a hope. We can still have a joy. We can get confidence from the Scriptures. Not to be a confident, blowhard, arrogant, conceited person, but our confidence is based on the Scriptures. And we lose that quite a bit because we wonder what's going to happen the next couple of days. Like Brian, or having lost his job, and when I lost mine, even as a pastor and all that kind of stuff, you know, what's coming up? We can't lose our joy over this stuff. We do, we have, and I have, but we ought not to. We should be able to have a hope by knowing what Paul teaches, all of us. But I don't know if we ever will here. What else we got here? Let's go to Ephesians chapter. I just was kind of winging my thoughts. Let's go to Ephesians. I think it's chapter 2. Here's something else we'll get anywhere else. Ephesians chapter 2, and he talks about the dispensation of grace. I think it's Ephesians chapter 3, but we'll get there. I'll be there. Why am I going one page at a time? It's pretty irritating. Galatians chapter 3. If you have heard of the Scriptures, of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word. So when people hear they're living in the dispensation of grace, you know what that means to them? Grace. Yeah, all things are lawful. I guess you can party hardy. No, Paul says, God forbid. Then he gives us some guidelines to follow. But, you know, if you do mess up, it's still not imputed. There is no law that says that it was wrong. Isn't that amazing? But I've come to realize by reading Paul only and by watching the religious people that think Jesus is all love and grace and everything, Paul is very feisty. I mean, if you can't get anything across to this guy, you're supposed to leave. That's brethren. That's family. We're supposed to avoid people. We're supposed to turn away from some of these people so that they're ashamed, not us. We're supposed to pray for people? Sure we are. We're supposed to have tears for people? Sure we are. We're supposed to help people? Sure we are. But we're also supposed to, when the time comes, rebuke, reprove. Oh, yeah. Paul calls for action. Not just grace. He wants us to change our lives. From the power of Satan unto God. He wants us to change things. He fixes us on the inside so we can change things on the outside. Oh, well. Here's another point I have towards my Bible reading. You know, by reading Paul only, I've come to realize that reading one word at a time is very important. Because you read a whole verse and one day, read through the whole verse in a big blow session in there, then you have probably missed it. Go back and read it slowly, and you'll be surprised. Haven't you ever read your Bible and you're reading something and you think, you know, I've read this before. Boy, this is good. It's like you get that initial seeding out of the way. But anyway. Any more things I've got down here today? It doesn't look like it. How are we doing? And that's a sorter. Wouldn't that horribly work? Those are the things that I really will try to get these things up on. Here's another thing I was going to mention about, and that's about pastors. On the despising and destroy the magnificence of. I find no glory should go to any pastor, anywhere, everywhere. People come up and pass you out the back. That was a good sermon. And if you preach what you ever preached out of Paul, you probably figure they're lying to you. Also, there are those sort that want to try to fix things in their lives, and they appreciate you correcting them. There are people like that, but they're not in the Northwest, I'll tell you. Everybody out here in the Midwest is very happy with themselves. They think God is, they don't know anything about God, but whoever he is, they'll worship him and dress nice on Sundays and at the buffets. More than you get a lot of places. Oh, I tell you. So, this pastor thing was something that I've learned to despise. I know what pastors, I know some pastors are saying, I hear them. I know what they're teaching. I see what they're doing to directing the people. I see they're trying to win the community over. And it's wrong. It's just wrong. And I despise that. I want to destroy the magnificence of pastorhood. We still have a purpose for a pastor. No doubt about it. But they're not what they made themselves out to be. And I despise that stuff. I want to destroy the magnificence of today's pastorship. Am I just a frustrated, fired pastor? I don't believe so. I think it would be great if somebody called me up and asked me to do their church again and preach Paul only. But all I could think would be, I don't think you really mean that, sir. I don't think you know what that means. But that's what I wish we could do. I wish you had people coming to the doors. Yeah, I hear that you got this Bible figured out. You got some, can I ask some questions? Yeah. Then I got a list here of things that I do despise and want to destroy. You want to hear it? Just a quick thing. Christian music. Oh, I just despise and want to destroy the magnificence of this Christian false gospel music. TV, it wastes time. And see, these are things that I've done. These are things that have burnt me. And I've learned by looking to Paul only that this stuff needs to be despised and destroyed the magnificence of. Education, modern education, private school, public school, it's just a disaster. Politics, don't even want to get into that thing. Religion, church, pastors, people that go to church and come home with more gossip stuff. You got people that say that they love their husbands and they love their husbands and their family on Facebook, yet when you hear them talking, they hate them. Facebook is such a fake book. I've come to despise, really, early marriages. I think part of the reason everybody is in so much trouble in our marriages nowadays is because we fell in love. Now, we didn't feel in love. We just felt. And that's all we wanted. And now it's backfiring after all the years. So Paul takes care of that 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I got to the whole just despising the magnificence of women. You know, Adriana, grow up and want to be the Christian woman based on Paul's teachings. And you basically can't be loud. I mean, there's a lot of sorts of things, but it sure does make you into a woman. But there's not many people that do stuff like that anymore. That's despising. And then here's, I got something here, things of the power over you. We've all got our addictions. We've all got our things that challenge us. I just scribbled down a few things that I just really do despise. I want to destroy their magnificence. And when you do that, you're not showing grace. You're not showing the love of God. Oh, yeah, we are. That's what he tells us to do. And if we love God, we'll do what he tells us to do. And he will say, you know what? You don't need to go to that movie. You don't need to sit up there and watch TV every night. I've done both, see, and it's a waste of time. Just a huge waste of time. Anyway. So there's what it would be with my thoughts, anyway, on following Paul. Only.
only. That's the kicker word, is only. And God will show us things that we never would have gotten if we hadn't have jumped into the Paul bandwagon a few years ago and stayed away from the hyper-Paul bandwagon, stayed away from the Baptist Paul wagon, you know, all kind of stuff. No, just stay in your little red flyer. You and God have a good ride with our neighboring trucks. So there you go for the night. That's the following Paul only. Don't be afraid to say to people that you follow Paul only. Just make sure you've got at least 5 seconds or 5 minutes afterwards to explain to the people, and make sure you've got your bulletproof vest on, because they're going to attack you. They don't want to hear it anymore.